What?
All right. Hey, welcome back. This is extra video number 2. Okay, these are just what I like to call the 8 maids to help milk your MBA interview. Basically, just 8 tips. First tip, honesty is the best policy. Okay, so the very first thing you need to know before before getting into an MBA interview is that you must make a conscious effort to be honest. Seriously, I mean, it sounds obvious, it sounds easy at first, but you know, I've interviewed many students who would actually tweak their resumes or accomplishments just a tad bit, and others quite a bit. Okay, you know, like the trainee who is responsible for generating a record income for their company, when in reality they just helped with some paperwork on a project that actually did well. You know, another one, I remember, developed a project that was supposedly being used all over the world in their conglomerates' branches, in their company's branches, but you know, it turned out to be a simple Excel spreadsheet that, yes, it's true, okay. It's true, it's not lying, he's not being dishonest, but it's just unnecessary tweaking that could come back and bite you in the butt. Okay, if especially with good interviewers, you get, you know, like Stanford, you get MIT guys, you know, who are really into Columbia, who are really into like digging deeper into the story, who want to get to, you know, who want to get to some specifics on how you achieve the specific on a certain goal, then you might get in trouble because you're going, the truth will be exposed. You know, I'm simply stating that, you know, all of us tend to stretch the story just a little bit, and I understand that your desire to come out as an outstanding and differentiated professional, you want to come out like that. But believe me, I've heard it all, and the main, but the main and most one of the most powerful features of any candidate is his honesty. So honesty will be felt, okay? Admissions counselors may not read your minds. They're not Professor Xavier, but they are experienced admissions counselors. There are also MBA alums who actually went through the exact same thing you're going through right now. So impress them with your sincerity, not with empty promises or accomplishments. You know, and they can and will check anything that you claim, okay, thoroughly. So don't get caught in a lie or in the stretching of the truth. It's worse than simply just stating that, you know, you were learning or you learned from, you know, rather than stretching the truth on your accomplishments, it's best to just say, you know, to show what you learned, to show how that was important to your growth. See the difference? It's not about what I did or this is what I did and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's really about, hey, I'm in the process of learning and I really enjoyed it. I mean, although it was I had a significant role in the success of this project, what I took away from it actually was what stayed with me for the rest of my career up until today. It's one of the lessons that I've based my foundations on. So you don't want it to backfire on you, so you don't really need to do that. And other candidates are people just like you, so exercise your self-confidence and believe in yourself. Being honest to others will reflect how honest you are with your own self, and understand that no one is perfect regardless of how impressive your resume is. And once you've accepted that, once you've known that, once you understand that you are not perfect, but you're always striving for perfection, then that's what we're looking for. That's what MBA interviewers are trying to see, is how willing are you to admit a mistake or to live up to a mistake, you know, or man up and own it and learn from it. Tip number 2, clarity of purpose is what I call clarity of purpose. There should be a clear line from your past to your future goals. You know, your goals should be extremely realistic and feasible. For example, You know, the marketing industry today is facing drastic changes due to social media. And it would be extremely difficult for anybody from a foreign country to actually finish their MBA and land like a top position in marketing in the USA, for example. You know, unless of course that candidate is just exceptional. But the fact is, the reality of it is that, you know, there's higher offer than demand, especially in the United States, especially in marketing, for example. I've been receiving many, at least in the time that I was working as a headhunter, I continued receiving many marketing position CVs and requests. And yes, I've helped a few out. But it's not, I mean, that's Brazil market related. These aren't formal employees who are looking to get a job in the USA or internationally, okay? You know, why would companies, you know, choose an international executive over a native one, you know, a national one? You know, why would they sponsor their, you know, somebody else's visa, working visa, if they have plenty to choose from an American citizen? See, so having a future goal like this could cause the interviewer to question the probability of your success, the likeliness of it. And believe me, your success is in the school's best interest, okay? And this is not actually a rule. It is something to consider, though. It is a tip that I want you to consider. You know, knowing your career path inside and out will be key to defining exactly what you want out of the MBA and how that will align with and greatly improve your chances for success in your future goals. Literally, like, how are you going to achieve your goals? It's not just about saying, okay, I want to do this. This is my passion. This is my dream. Then you have to know how you're going to do it. Okay, so schools are going to be looking for students who know exactly how they will take advantage of the MBA program. It doesn't necessarily mean that students have to know 100% of everything. Okay, that's not what they're expecting. But things will change once you get to the school and then you see so many other things and ideas and opportunities that will be offered to you, that doors that will be opened to you. You might even change your future goals. That's not the point, though. We're not at school yet. While you're in the interview, you need to have a clear vision, a clear path of what you want out of the MBA. As we go along here, if you ever listen to my podcast, The MBA Wire, okay, if you'd like, go check it out. It's www.thembawire.com, thembawire.com. It's a free podcast where I interview students and talk about their stories and their difficulties and try to motivate the people who are applying. In those episodes, you'll hear that many of the students and alums will say that you must choose the courses and the activities wisely, mainly because you will be overwhelmed with the amount of amazing things to do. Okay, it's the whole idea of FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. You know, first year there, you're going to bite off more than you can chew. Trust me, almost every student does this. So if you don't prioritize the things that are going to help you achieve your goals, then it's going to be easy to get lost along the way. And, you know, your past actually ties in with the specific courses and activities that you're going to pursue during your MBA anyway. And those pursuits will tie into your future goals. They must, actually. Okay, they need to, that needs to be very clear. So, you know, many times, like, students want to fill their gaps, you know, which are great, or to strengthen their skills, abilities, which are kind of the two main reasons for why students go for an MBA. With what you acquire during your MBA, by assuming that you have a set plan and on what you're going to do once you've arrived there, and then getting the right tools to achieve your future goals, you have to be able to show this very clearly in your answers. And that's not even all of it. You know, it's really easy to say that in 15 years you want to be a CEO of a global company. But it's not the important factor when you're answering, like, the future goals question. Interviewers will want to know if you have a clear strategy, like, how will you achieve each milestone, and what tools from the MBA will you use to get there? Like, how will you achieve each milestone, and what tools from the MBA will you use to get there? Okay, the three main questions to answer in this is walk me through your resume. Tell me about your career path and why an MBA now at this point in your career. What are your short, mid, and long-term goals after? Everything about your answer should be interconnected, and something in your career path should have a direct link to a reason why an MBA and how addressing it during your MBA will help your future, and what is your strategy. So it sounds overwhelming, but in reality, this is more about self-awareness, knowledge of what the school can offer you, and having a strategy of how to achieve your goals, no matter what they are, as long as they're feasible. I gave becoming a CEO as an example, and it's not an unrealistic goal, but as long as you have a strategy, a plan of attack, a strong analysis of like the market you want to penetrate, no matter what your goals are, you need to know how the MBA will help you get there, and knowing this will help you define what you will pursue during your MBA, okay? And if by showing the interviewer that you know this, you will have a strong impact on his or her evaluation of your interview because they are looking for this type of professional maturity. Tip number three, capitalize on your weaknesses, okay? Strengths are great, but weaknesses or the awareness of them and your strategy or actions to address them are even stronger than talking about strengths. Weaknesses are a window into who you are and your ability to understand yourself. A lot of students are kind of like weary of talking about their weaknesses, and you shouldn't, okay? Because for a few reasons, all right? One is brand loyalty. What do you mean? Well, what do you mean brand loyalty? Well, think of any B school like a company, okay? User experience equals loyalty equals active participation or evangelism post purchase of the product. So it's a sense of money well spent. Okay, if I pay money to a school, and that school helps me achieve my goals, money well spent, right? So then there's no weaknesses, you know? Think about this. Once the whole purpose is they want to make sure that that you love that school. I mean, you're going to love the school, obviously, but that's their whole point. You know, they're going to provide you with an amazing service, with amazing friendship and amazing experience that you're going to cherish for the rest of your life. And by doing so, what they do is also they create brand loyalty so that when you do talk to other people about schools and MBA programs, you're definitely going to vouch for yours. That is, as long as you didn't lie your way into the MBA and got into the right one. We'll talk about that later. Avoid being arrogant, okay? Whenever you're talking about your strengths or weaknesses, don't be arrogant. There's a fine line between self-confidence and being arrogant. I talk about that in the other video. I'm not gonna, repeat again everything I've said before. But if you don't have any weaknesses, I remember once a year I get a student during their interview practice where they will say something like, tell me about your weaknesses. And they'll answer, I don't have any weaknesses. And I just look at them. I'm like, then why do you need an MBA, man? You know? Oh, just networking and ranking. I'm just like, and that's just the worst way for you to conduct your interview. Because those are all of the interview no-nos. You know, you should never say those kind of things, no matter how true they are. And truly, if you don't have any weaknesses, then sorry, I can't help you. You know, I can't help you. Why do you need an interview coach if you don't have a weakness? If that means everything you do is a strength, then you shouldn't have any problems going through the interview. So be careful with that. All right, tip number four: two questions you should always consider when you're during your interview. Number one: are my answers helping the interviewer get to know me, the real me, better? Am I allowing him or her to read between the print? Like, what makes me tick? What makes you tick? What choices have you made that led you to your current position? Or why have you made a specific decision? In every answer, you should be revealing a little bit more about yourself. For example, let's say, do you have any hobbies? Answer type A. I enjoy practicing sports, all kinds of sports. You know, they're good for my health and building relationships. Answer B, I enjoy sports, mainly team sports, because the idea of depending and helping my neighbor is a belief that I have had ever since I was a child. I think team sports really helped me develop my ability to handle pressure. Even apologizing after a heated game, and I really appreciate the dynamics of society. Which one's better? Okay. Which one really shows the interviewer who I am? Here's an alternative answer, B. Okay, I enjoy sports, mainly individual ones, because I'm extremely competitive and demanding of myself. So to become a strong leader, a solid leader, I must lead by example. So I find it gratifying to practice this both within the professional scope as well as on the personal scope. Okay. Now, these variations are going to depend on the school's fit, on your profile, and on your hobbies. You can use these answers word for word or not. You shouldn't, though. Remember what I said about being scripted. Avoid being scripted. Instead, I want you to see what I did with my answer here. That's why I provided these answers for you, to see really exactly how I revealed myself more by naturally answering like a question with specific details of my personality. Okay. You don't have to go off and start like a 20-minute statement of your psychoanalysis, but just open up a little more with each answer, like pieces to a jigsaw puzzle. Okay, the interviewer has a few of the pieces in his hands, and the interview is actually designed to fill in the missing spots. And a good interview will provide a great overall picture of that puzzle, even if it's not fully complete. But you have a view of exactly what you're looking, what you want to. It's like looking at the box of the jigsaw puzzle. You can actually see the picture, even though you have a few pieces missing. How will you provide those specific pieces? The second question you should ask yourself during any interview is what I'm saying displaying how the MBA will help me specifically? If you know the school well, inside and out, and what they can offer you, then you should add these pieces as well to your answers. And then little by little, since you'll be building an overall picture of your application, the schools really want to evaluate how much you will get out of their program. Remember, think about brand loyalty. If I'm an MBA, my thought is, how can I help him? How can I help her? How can I help you? What can I do to make your life better? Because if you're not making someone else's life better, you're wasting your time on this earth, okay? Tip number 5, take a breath. It's okay to ask for a second or two, okay? It's important for you to understand the question. It's okay to ask for a second. It's an interview. Most interviews are conversational, so you guys are talking. I doubt that you are going to get low marks because you asked for a second to think about the question. You have to understand the question. There's so many times where I have gotten students, usually Asian students do this, but they memorize their answers to the point where it's extremely scripted. And not all Asians, but it's more Asians than other ethnicities. But when I conduct a test, I knowing this, I switch the question around. Instead of asking why an MBA, I say, why don't you need an MBA? Why wouldn't you need an MBA? Or what are your fears for this MBA? Or what are you expecting from this MBA? And you need to first listen. Just listen to the question and understand the question. That way you can shape your answer carefully to whether the question is asking you more about your past. What has led you to want an MBA? Or if it's a question that's asking more about related to your future, like what will you do when you graduate, or how will an MBA help you? Okay, there are different ways to ask the same question, yes, but you must answer the question specifically. And the only way you can do that is if you listen. Tip number 6 is marketing number 101. You need to sell your school. Avoid generic answers. I constantly tell students, especially in the why my school question. Okay, why X school? There's a video on that. But the shortened version of what I always tell students is this. Think of MBAs like they are women at a club. Or men at a club, doesn't matter. But It's more about women at the club. Sorry, ladies. This is just a... not trying to be, you know, sexist or anything. I'm just saying, as an example, all right, let's say you're a guy, you're at a club, right? And you know, nightclub, and you're drinking, having fun, and you see a couple of pretty ladies. And let's say they're just not a couple of ladies. They're about maybe, okay, five ladies that you see that you're, you know, like, ah, oh, that caught your eye, that caught your attention. And you go up to one of them, you start talking, you know, say, hey, how you doing? You know, nice to meet you. I love those earrings, whatever. And then let's say she asks you, why me? I see you looking at other girls. Why do you want to be in a two-year relationship with me? What are you going to say? Okay. Same concept with why my school? Why this school? If Chicago Booth asks you, why Booth? Why here and not somewhere else? Or if somebody from Michigan Ross asks you, why here, why not somewhere else? Or Duke, whatever school. If they ask you that, you have to answer as if you're answering a girl who is asking you, why me, and not those other four or five girls that you're looking at. You have to be specific. You cannot give generic answers. You can't say, because I like your area code, and I like the way you move, and the color of your hair is fantastic, and, you know, I just feel like we have chemistry, that we have a good fit for each other. How? What kind of chemistry? Why do you think you have a fit? What do you know about me? How well do you know me? You don't even know me. Yes, I do. It sounds kind of like a stalker, but it is. You know, you're researching the school. You're asking everyone who's been to that school, right? For example, it would be as far as the example. It would be everyone who dated that girl before. You're asking them questions about her. It would be, you know, you're checking her Facebook, which would be like the school's website, you know, everything, that all the likes and dislikes and things like that. And it's basically research. You're basically stalking the girl. You're stalking the school. So stalk your school. Get to know inside and out. Why you want to be there? Why do you want to be with that school for 2 years? So avoid generic answers. Avoid them at all costs. Avoid generic answers at all costs. Especially in the questions of why this school, because it's just like a, you know, it's just like trying to pick up girls, you know. It's you have to be specific. You have to know why. You have to be able to prove your interest in that person or in that school. Genuinely, okay, authentically. You're not just trying to get into some person's pants. You're getting into a relationship, 2-year relationship with someone, with a school, with many people there, and you really want to enjoy this time. Before I go on to the next tip, I want to mention one more thing, and this is this is one of my pet peeves. This is one of the things that really pissed me off. I have a student or two who have said, you know, like, one of them actually got into Wharton. I remember telling him that he was not Wharton material. Not the sense that he wasn't good enough for Wharton. It was just the sense that there wasn't a match. You know, it's like a friend telling another friend, look, dude, that girl is no good. You guys aren't going to last. It's not good. And, you know, your friend goes over there and he kind of like tricks his way into getting with the girl. Same way this former student of mine, he was able to kind of trick his way into getting into Wharton school. And he dropped out after 1 year. He hated it. And he started his own business and he's doing well for himself. But anytime we go out, anytime we're talking about like MBA programs and things like that, you know, when we're out at the bar, he's always saying, you know, no one needs an MBA, an MBA this, MBA that, and just very negative about the whole experience. And I just, you know, I simply listen to everything. And at the end, I tell them, you know, it's like, man, you lied your way into the school. You did a very good job at conning, but you're the one that lost, man. You know, you came out, you had the worst 1 year experience. You didn't even finish the school. You had a terrible experience there. I would say you basically just wasted your time and money, kind of like a bad relationship, okay? Because you went into a relationship that really doesn't have anything to do with, you just wanted to go in there because of the ranking of the school. And it's not, that's why I'm saying, you know, you remember in the previous tip, be honest. is extremely important, but also know your school well. Get to know them well before you move in, so to speak. Okay. So I really hate that. I really hate when people, put the blame on something else, when they're the ones that actually was part of the wrongdoing. Don't do that. Okay. I believe in you guys. I believe in each and one of you. I believe that in the future, when you are impacting your world, and you're kind of sitting, at your dream home on the porch having some warm tea and looking out onto the sunset, and you're thinking about all the things you've accomplished in your life, after you've helped save millions of lives, I don't know, or made millions of dollars, and you think back, and I really, really hope that you remember me. Be like, yo, this is one guy who really helped me get into the school that I really, of my dreams, which, caused a chain reaction, a domino effect in my life, and everything has been, it hasn't been dandy. It wasn't easy, but he really helped me get into the school of my dreams. I really hope that happens. That's my genuine desire and motivation for why I'm doing this interview course. I want to impact them. I want to impact people in the ways I know how, and I know you will do the same as well. Okay. Tip number 7. So all in good form is what I call all in good form. You want the interviewer to like you, okay? First and overall impression should be outstanding. Okay? So you want to be positive. You want to maintain the interview in a positive light. There's evidence that smiling actually causes happiness. It wins friends and it calms down enemies. It reduces stress. They even say that smiling is contagious. There's a part of your brain that is responsible for your facial expressions, for smiling. When you're happy, or for even mimicking another person's smile, and it's in the cingulate cortex, I think. It's cingulate cortex. I can't remember the name. I think it's cingulate cortex in the research that I read. It's an unconscious automatic response area. So if you look at the big picture here, each time you smile at a person, their brain actually coaxes them to return the favor. It actually, their brain works in favor for you. So you're creating a symbiotic relationship that allows both of you to really release good chemicals in your brain, activating reward centers and making you both more attractive and increasing the chances of you both living longer, healthier lives. So smiling is beneficial. Smile. You want this interviewer to like you. Okay, make eye contact, have good body language. All that I talk about in the establishing rapport video. Establishing rapport, right? Body language, your dress code, energy. Bring the energy. Don't be a zombie. Imagine, I mean, I'm still recording these videos, and I don't know how many hours you've probably watched me talk, but if I was like, energy. Bring the energy to your interview. Obviously, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Neither would I. I'd die. Anyway, get to the point. Okay, don't ever be late. Ever, 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 ever. And turn off your cell phone. Some quick tips. Turn off your cell phone. That's the worst thing, It's like being in the movie theaters and you have your cell phone on, You're going to be here in the interview and your cell phone goes off. Don't do that. The interviewer's cell phone could go off. That's fine. Remember, that day is all about the interview. Final tip is visit the school. If you can, use up any resource possible. If you have the opportunity to go to the school, go to the school. If you have the opportunity to go to the events, go to the events. All of these are going to help you in the overall picture. This is a recommendation for every candidate. Okay, simply just visit the school if you can. And I understand that there are a lot of you who cannot afford to take an international flight and then visit one of your schools. You might also even be hoping for a sponsorship or a scholarship. But if you go, you will learn so much about the school. You know, students, if you ask, they will answer you any question. Campus life and community, you're going to get a feel for what it's like and that energy and that environment. You're going to meet faculty. You're going to talk to the teachers and see how brilliant and genius these people are. And they're all there for you to help you. You know, and you're going to be able to see the city life. There's just so many benefits of visiting the school. If you can, try to visit the school. Yeah, this will help you really decide which school you fit in with, which school you will want to spend the next 2 years at. Okay, that's it for our 8 maids to help milk your interview. And these are just 8 basic tips, but I'm glad that you watched this, because I do say a few things here that I haven't said in the other videos. This is why I'm including it. But let's go. Let's keep moving. Okay. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. This is Mateo Chang signing off. See you soon. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comma. This is fucking awesome. Ow. I'm gonna